Isn't it awesome to see what happens when we step out in faith to let God use us? If you have your Bibles with you, we are in a series called Back to Sunday School. And our Back to Sunday School series is based on some of the Bible epics that some of us learned when we were in Sunday school church as kids and some of the stories that our children are learning now. How many of you know that it's important to cultivate the fundamentals into our lives? How many of you know that we can't graduate from the basics? The basics are important. If we can't get the basics right, we can't move on to the more mature things. And I think we see these themes in the Bible about maturity. And so in these principles, we are not bringing them to you, obviously, in a childlike manner. But these stories, the foundations, the foundational truths that link us to Jesus and his purposes for our life today are absolutely strengthening and encouragements for us. So let's just pray real quick as I get started. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for this opportunity, God, to dive into your word and to hear from you and all that you have for us. Lord, I pray that there be an urgency brewing inside of us, God. Lord, I pray that there be a flame that is starting to be fanned in our lives. Lord, that we are not just going to be a people that goes through the motions. We are not going to be a people who will just sit by idly while we see the world headed in the direction that it is today. That we know that we serve a mighty God. That we know that we are living for the glory of King Jesus. And I pray, even now, God, as we dive into this story of Abraham, Lord, the father of faith, God, this patriarch of the faith, Father, that our hearts are stirred for all that you are calling us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So today we're going to be speaking about Abraham. How many of you guys remember that song? Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. You're looking at me all funny. We learned these things. This was Sunday school for us. And so Father Abraham is a patriarch of the faith. He is still a patriarch, an exceptional figure in the Jewish culture and in Judaism as they are following God and the knowledge that they have. But for us, knowing that he is still that heritage, that Jewish heritage that connects us into Christianity, Abraham was this figure that I don't think any of us can get away from because he is one of the founders of our Hebrews 11:1. Now, this is the New Testament, and I love how the New Testament just puts a stamp on what the Old Testament told us, what the Old Testament showed us. And here, the writer of Hebrews has actually never been solidified. Most scholars would say it's the Apostle Paul, and so I would tend to agree. But you'll see in some of the theological study Bibles, the author is unknown. But Hebrews writes this: now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Can you guys say assurance?
Sure.
Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. How many of you guys have ever just known something was going to happen? Like you're assured this thing's going to happen, right? How many of you have had faith like that? Like I'm getting that job. Like I don't care. I'm getting that job. That job's my job, right? How many of you ever had faith like that, right? Right? I mean, some of you have faith when you buy that lottery ticket, right? Like I know I'm going to win. Ooh, I know I'm going to win. Man, I'm going to win. It doesn't happen because you're still here, but you know it's all right. Listen, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. How many of you have hoped for something in that way? I know this thing is going to happen. I've been assured by heaven that this thing is going to happen. This is what faith is. Faith is us having the assurance of what we're hoping for. What are you hoping for this morning? What are you hoping for in your life this morning? Is it more than where you are today? How many of you are hoping for something more than where you are today? Man, some of you guys, all right, good thing we're talking about faith this morning because some of you are just like, I pray that even hope now is beginning to bubble inside of you. Where are we without hope? Where are we without faith? Where are we without looking towards what God has for us in the future, right? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. Have you ever seen someone with conviction about something that's just like completely wrong? Doesn't it just like rub you the wrong way? Like, are you serious? Like, you're gonna stake your flag in that thing? Like, really? We have not only the thing of all things, we have the persons of all persons to stake our flag into. And his name is Jesus. And to have the conviction and knowing of who he is and what he has said and what he has accomplished on the cross, this should bring us more conviction than anyone else on the planet. And yet today, Christians are wavering more than ever before. Convictions of things not seen. This is why the Bible calls us a peculiar people. Because we're living in arenas and in atmospheres that other people aren't living in. We should be the people who are freaking out. Everyone else on the earth, like, how does he believe stuff like that? And then it happens. How does that seem to just, you know, take place in this guy's life? It's called faith. Look at your neighbor and say, we got to have faith. How many of you are singing that song in your head right now, right? Because you got to have faith. All right, listen. Verse 2. For by it, listen to this, by the assurance, by the conviction, by it, the men of old gained approval. So Hebrews 11 is taking us back to the Old Testament. The writer is telling us, listen, all these guys back in the Old Testament, man, these guys lived by faith. These guys had assurance of the things that they hoped for. They had convictions that they were ready to die for. How many of us have assurances and convictions like that? This is who we need to be as people of faith. Because why? For by it the men of old gained approval. Whose approval? God's approval. Whose approval are we seeking today? Whose approval are you seeking today? Are you seeking man's approval? Because if you're seeking man's approval, it doesn't take much faith. All you got to do is do what they tell you to do. Right? When you go to your job, hey, you know, you had that special date planned with your wife, but the boss comes out and says, hey, you got to work overtime tonight. We got to get this thing done. Yeah. Right now, you got to, men, you know this. You got someone's approvals. Someone's about to get disappointed. Unfortunately, when it comes to the things of earth and the things of God, more times than not, God is always losing the coin flip. Right? Let's see. All right, God, we'll see. Sorry, God, maybe next time. Whose approval are we living for today? Man's or God's? Let's go down to verse 6. And I promise you I'm not taking verses out of context. I'm trying to get us somewhere. Verse 6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible. Say impossible. It is impossible to please God. Without what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so if we want to please God, what is it going to take? All right, say that again. If we want to please God, what is it going to take? Faith. Is it going to take doubt? Disbelief. What is it going to take? Faith. Faith is what pleases God. Faith is what gets us God's approval. Now listen, I'm not talking about God's acceptance. Okay? We are completely accepted by the blood of the Lamb, that the price that was paid on the cross, we're in. We're not talking about acceptance. We are talking about approval. We are talking about God taking us somewhere. We are talking about God taking us from point A to point B. What is it going to take to actually get us there? Faith, right? Faith. So let's read. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe. When you come to God, you must what? Believe. You must believe that he is and that he is a... You must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. First, you got to believe. It takes faith to believe that he even exists. Can you say amen? Amen. Second, you got to believe that he is a rewarder of those. Do we believe that God is still a rewarder? Do you believe that God has something more for you? Because if you believe that God has something more for you, aren't our actions going to line up with that thing? Now hear me, friends. I'm not trying to get into this prosperous gospel. You name it, you claim it. I'm believing for a Cadillac. I'm going to have that thing. God, there's going to be a Cadillac outside this church one Sunday morning. Someone's going to drive up in a Cadillac for me. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about a prosperous gospel. I'm not talking about naming and claiming. I'm talking about us being approved by God. I'm talking about us being on journey with God. I'm talking about us believing that the things God has said about my life, about my marriage, about my children, all the future plans that he has for me. When I pulled down that Jeremiah 29:11, Lord, right, God knows the plans that he has for me, right? Plans to prosper me, right? When I pull down, it's not just thinking about, hey, a house and a car and all those kinds of things. Prosper me in the purposes that he has for my life. Are you with me? Verse 6 says, by faith, it's by what? And so we read this on Steve preached this a couple weeks ago. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, what was coming? A storm, a flood. Never been seen before on the planet. And God tells Noah to build a boat. To build a what? Yeah, but his response was like, a what? A boat. There'd never been a boat on the planet. You got to build a boat. A flood's coming. By faith, Noah did that. Listen to this. In reverence, he prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. In reverence to God. Not by all the judgment that was going to take place on the earth, by all the people that were in his community and be laughing at him and like, what are you doing? Right. What? You're taking your kids to church now? Like, I mean, come on, man. Me and you, we used to be this way. You're doing what now? Right. By reverence for God. He built an ark for the salvation of his family, by which he condemned the world and became an heir. Listen, and condemned the world, that word condemned, it wasn't Noah's place to condemn the world. It means he rejected the world, right? Noah rejected the world, right? And became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So how did Noah become an heir of righteousness? By his faith. Yeah. By his faith. So how do we stay in right standing with God? And I'm not talking about sanctified righteousness with Jesus. I'm talking about staying on the path that God has called us to be on through faith. It takes a whole lot of faith to stay on this road that God has called us to be a part of. And then here we go, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, can you say Abraham? Abraham. Father Abraham, when he was called, what did he do? See, yeah. He did what? When he was called, he obeyed. What's the last thing that Jesus called you about? Honestly, even take a minute now. What's the last thing that Jesus has asked you to do? And what have you done about it? The last thing. Hopefully, you're talking with Jesus. I know he's trying to talk with us. It's the last thing that Jesus has asked you to do. And have you done something about it? By faith, Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed by going. Say going. This is going to be key for us. He obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. So God called him to a place. He said, listen, I'm calling you from here to here. Your inheritance is on this side. But if you stay on this side, you're not going to grab that inheritance that I'm calling you to. It's going to actually take a going. And I want to tell us, church, that our inheritance is on the other side of going. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to go. No, you got to go. Listen, your inheritance is on the other side of going. Some of you are like, I need to go to the bath. No, listen. On the other side of going. This is another key thing that we see not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. Jesus said what to the disciples? Go and make disciples. Did he say, go hang out in your churches and everyone's going to come and hang out with you? Absolutely not. There's fruit in the going. There's inheritance in the going. Why do we go to Mexico? Why do we go to South Africa? Why do we go to these other nations God has called us to? Because when God says go, we need to respond. And then there's an inheritance on the other side of it. Isn't that amazing? That there's an inheritance on the other side of going. But what happens is we aren't comfortable with the going, and so we never walk into our inheritance. Now, I'm not trying to freak us all out, because God's not calling us all to Mexico. God's not calling us all to South Africa. Sometimes your going is right across the fence, and it looks like your neighbor's house. Sometimes the going is a place that you probably visit every day when you go to work. Sometimes your going is at that school that God has called you to. And in the going, like Val was saying today, I want to use that encouragement that he gave, that we just need to open our eyes. We need to open our eyes and say, hey, listen, I'm not just going to work. I'm actually going to work on mission. And on the other side of that having faith eyes, there's an inheritance there. There's an inheritance. There's people there that are desperate for Jesus. And guess who's carrying them? I am. And so in faith, say faith. In faith, I'm going to present Jesus to the world around me. Can you say amen to that? Right? So he obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out. Say he went out. Not knowing where he was going. Come on. When's the last time you let say, hey, I need you to pack it up because we're going to get moving. And I'm not really going to be able to tell you exactly where we're going. I just need you to get in the car. Are you ready to go? I used to do this with Vanessa and the kids a lot when kids were younger. I would just say, hey, pack your bags, we're leaving. Like, where are we going? Don't worry about it. Just get your stuff, get in the car. We're going somewhere. Like, what? And it was just, you know, time. We needed to get out. We needed to drive somewhere. You know, we would do stuff like Solvang or Santa Barbara or do something close that, you know, just to get out of our little something. I just like, hey, pack your stuff. Let's go. We're going. We're not just getting it. You know, I'm sure it was taking faith because kids, they need to know. Like, where? What I got to do? What? You know, and so it's be funny because, I mean, Judah does it now, but the kids, they pack all the wrong stuff. And, you know, because we're just like, just throw it in there. Let's go, you know. We could go to the snow, and Judah will have all shorts and flip-flops. That's the way Judah is today. But sometimes our faith needs to be like a child. And when God says, hey, pack it up, we're going, it's like, hey, all right, God, if you say it, let's go. But it's on the other side of that obedience that God is going to show us our inheritance. When's the last time God said, hey, I can't show you exactly where you're going, but if you journey to me, I promise you that as we get closer to the destination, it's going to get clearer and clearer and clearer to you where we're headed. This is the journey of Christianity, friends. And so many times we put lines in the sand for God. We put lines in the sand and we tell God, unless you show me the full picture, I'm not going. This is what we do. We say, God, unless it's going to be, and I'm just using some weird example. Unless it's a three-bedroom house and it has two restrooms and a pool in the back, I'm not going. We put these demands on where God is saying he is taking us, and we're saying as long as my inheritance and my destination looks like this. Friends, is that faith? Is that faith? Is us determining what the outcome going to be actually faith? Because this is how so many of us lead our lives. God is saying, I'm taking you, and you say, okay, God, I'm willing to go as long as it looks like this on the other end. He says, by faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise. Can you imagine that? God calls Abraham out, and he takes him into a foreign land, and he says, guess what? It's not going to be your comfort zone. Whoa. Guess what? It's not going to be this place that is all your friends and family all around you. It's actually going to be an uncomfortable place. Yeah. It's actually going to be an unfamiliar place. It's actually going to be a foreign land. How many of you would be comfortable with that? How many of you would be able to just settle in God? Okay, God, I know you're with me. This is the faith God is calling us to. Faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, who we'll learn about in a couple of weeks. Isaac and Jacob with his son and his grandson, fellow heirs of the same promise. And here's the thing, church, we have to know that sometimes what God is calling us to isn't even going to be seen in our generation. It's going to be seen in the next. Right. And here's just a small challenge for some of you parents. And if it sticks, swallow it, do something with it. Some of us are hijacking the inheritance of our children. Because God is saying, let's get up, let's go. And we're like, no. I'm good, God. I'm in my comfort zone. You ever see Hitch? When he dances, he's like, you just got to stay right here. Don't get outside your comfort zone. You're going to make a mess of it. I love that movie. We just want to stay right here. We're not going to get out of our comfort zone. And so guess what? We're actually hijacking the inheritance of our children. And I'm not speaking about houses and 401ks. I'm speaking about spiritual inheritance for our children. Because we're in our comfort zone and we never show our children a pattern of faith. They can live that thing out for their lives because we show them domestic stability and comfort. And God is saying, hey, I got a land I want to promise for you. But guess what? It's not just for you. It's also for Isaac and Jacob. Ain't that amazing? Do you believe this? I mean, we're still scripture, and we're still not even in the portion of scripture I need to get to. All right, listen. Verse 10, for he was looking for the city, and I love this, church. Abraham was looking for the city which has foundations and whose architect and builder is God. Yeah. What inheritance are you looking for? Who's the architect and builder of the inheritance that you've designed out there for yourself? Just think about it. That future that you're looking for, man, this is what I want my future to look like. I want to be retired. I want to be able to rest and sit on the porch and drink some sweet tea. This is Ken's Texas retirement I'm talking about right now. I mean, when we're doing that, who's the architect and builder of that inheritance, of that future? Is it God or is it us? Think about that. When you look at yourself, when you're retirement age, what does that future look like for you? Is it like, man, I just can't wait to do nothing. Whew, I'm waiting for that day. You just do nothing. See, people by faith don't live like that. People by faith, we say the architect and the builder of my inheritance and my future is God. And whatever he says this thing is going to look like, praise God, let it look like that. I'm not saying don't be wise. I'm not saying don't invest in a 401k. I'm not saying don't be a good steward of what God has given you. Please do that. But if God changes it on the way, let him do it. Are you with me? Genesis chapter 12. Hebrews 11. This is New Testament. This is the writer of Hebrews telling us, man, these are the things that have been written. This is the faith that we as a New Testament, New Covenant people, we need to draw from. And in Genesis 12, we go back to the original account. Genesis 12 says, and I think we're in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, and so this is Abram. His name isn't even Abraham yet because he hasn't had a revelation from God. How many of you know when God gives you a revelation and you grab a hold of it, eventually he changes your identity? Has your identity been changed? Because when you grab a hold of that revelation, no longer are you Abram, you actually become Abraham. No longer are you Simon, you actually become Peter. This is what God does to you along the journey. Genesis 12, now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country. Go forth from where? From your country. Go forth from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. I want you to get up and go. And guess what? I'll show you the way. I'm going to show it to you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. And listen, I love this. And I will make your name great. Do you see the stark difference between what God is covenanting with Abraham and what happened at the Tower of Babel? Last week we spoke about the Tower of Babel, and what did they say? They said, let us build a city for ourselves. Let us build something for ourselves. Let us make our name great. Yes. This was self-promotion. This was self-edification. This is them being so self-centered in who they were. Now what God is showing us is it's not about what you do. It's what I want to do through you. And if you let me do it through you, guess what? I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. Isn't that awesome? Right? Psalms tells us, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And what happens? He will lift you up. He will lift you up. So, go forth to the country and the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. Listen, and so you shall be a blessing. Yeah. Why is God wanting to make our name great? Why is God wanting to bless us? Right here. to be a blessing. Why are you blessed today? The things that you actually have, whatever it is, spiritual, physical, financial, do you realize that they are blessings from God? And that the reason that God has actually given them to you is so that you could be a blessing? Isn't that a whole different way of thinking than what the world says today? Man, get yours while you can, when you can. And hold on to it and don't let go of it. Where God says, I am blessing you so that you could be a blessing. I'm not blessing you so that you can hold on to it and put it in the bank and lock it in a safe never to be seen again. I'm blessing you so that you can be a blessing. And this is who we are as a church. As we come and we gather to be equipped, as we come here to be edified by God, as we come to be strengthened together and connect with Jesus, God is filling us so that we can be a living drink offering for Jesus. So we can pour ourselves out, so that we can go out into our communities. We can go to East LA and Whittier and Pico Rivera and Montebello and all the surrounding areas and be a blessing. So that we can go to Mexico and be a blessing. So that we can go to the nations of the world and be a blessing. This is still on God's heart. Do you believe that? And I will bless those who bless you. I love this. This is covenantal language with God. He is saying, listen, I got your back. Don't worry about protect yourself. Don't worry about like who's saying what. I got your back. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse. Man, that's heavy language. Come on, Jesus. Jesus got my back. Listen, and all the families of the earth will be blessed. This is God's covenant with Abraham. In you, all families of the earth will be blessed. Can you imagine that? What we know now in the New Testament is that covenant that God made with Abraham, he is actually extended to his church. We are an extension of that inheritance. And that inheritance that God was giving to Abraham, it actually got given to the church. And it's not, God is not blessing all the families of the earth through Jody. He's doing it through his church. Through his church. Through us. Look at someone and say, we are the church. And so this, as I read here in verse 4, so Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. So he did what? He went forth. He obeyed. It takes walks of obedience to walk into the inheritance God called us to. Genesis 15, I'm going to read this and then I got to get to some points. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, so God's reminding Abram, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. And I really believe that's a prophetic word for people here this morning. Do not be afraid, for God is a shield for you. God has you. God is protecting you, and he's calling you out, and somehow fear has gripped you, and the only way to contend against fear is with the opposite spirit, and the opposite spirit of fear is faith. Can you say faith? God is saying he is a shield about you. God is asking you to do some things about, and you're afraid to do it, but God's saying, hey, I got you. Step out in faith. God is asking you to do some things in ministry, and you're afraid. You're shaking in your boots. You don't want to do it, and God's saying, Stop operating in fear and start operating in faith. Can you say amen to that? He's wanting us to step out in faith. But listen, your reward shall be very great. Because on the other side of faith is what? Our inheritance. Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? And so he's saying, Lord, you're telling me you're gonna bless me with many nations? I don't even have kids. The only heir that I have is like a distant relative, and he's not even my kid. Are you telling me he's going to be my heir and then my maybe a spiritual lineage you're trying? So Abram's trying to, in his heart, with whatever spirituality he has, and say, God, is this what you're saying? And God's saying, no, that's not what I'm saying. And Abram said, since you have given me no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man will not be your heir. So he's saying, I'm not going to give you some second-rate inheritance. And I'm not talking about a stepson right here. I'm talking through the miraculous of who I am. This is going to take place. but this will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir. So you're going to have a son. And he's going to be yours, and he's going to come from your loins. And he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars. If you are able to count them, he said. And then he said to him, So shall be your descendants, or so shall your descendants be. Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it. He said, O Lord God, how may I know that I will possess it? And he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old female goat and a 3-year-old ram and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two, and he laid each half opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds. And so then we see him laying this offering before God. Right? It's an awesome portion of Scripture. When God reveals to Abram, listen, Abram, you are going to have an inheritance, and it is going to be a son from your loins. And here's the crazy thing. We don't know because we didn't read it. Maybe you know it. Abram was 99 years old. He's 99 years old. His wife's just about the same age, well past the age to have children. And God is saying, I am going to give you a son, talking about and believing in things that you have not seen. Now, I know ladies today are having babies a little later in life, but we're talking 99 years old. It's going to take a miracle. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to take a miracle. A miracle from who? From God, that comes on the back end of what? Of faith, right? So listen what God does. God tells him what's going to happen, and then he does what? Abram, come here. Let's go outside and show you something. I need to show you something. Come with me outside. How many of you know that sometimes God needs to take us outside of our box to show us our inheritance? I need a brave soul. Who's here? Jesse, come on up. Let me see this box. Sorry, it's not a great box, but it is a box. So sometimes we're living in a box. You can use your hands to hold it up. Just put it over your head. We're living in a box. This is our comfort zone. This is our life today, right? And God is saying, my son, my daughter, I have so much I want to show you. Here, come with me outside. I want to show you what we got to see. Listen, I got all of this inheritance for you. I want you to look up in the sky. And we got this box that we are even carrying with us. We're not able to see what God is showing us. And what God is actually telling us is, listen, you have to step outside of your box to see the inheritance that I want to show you. Sorry, buddy. I know it's a simple thing, but I had to show them. You good? This is back to Sunday school, right? So normally I would give all the kids boxes. God, we have to step outside the box. God says, let me step outside. Let's see the stars. I want to begin to prophetically show you all that I have for you. And we're like, no, God, I like it in my box. I'm not stepping outside. It's far too much for me. I'm not going there. How is God ever going to get us there if he can't even show us? God needs to take us outside to show us our inheritance. He needs to take us outside of our box. He needs to take you outside of your comfort zone. He needs to take you outside of your natural habitat. He absolutely does. And this is why going to the nations is so key. This is why going on a simple trip to Ensenada can transform a former Marine who had trouble serving in the local church. Sorry, brother, but that was your testimony, right? Honestly, this is what God does. He takes you sometimes outside of your comfort zone to show you a bigger picture, and then something turns on. What's outside your comfort zone? It's like, well, I only like kids. I'm only going to work with kids. I only like to work with kids. I'm never going to do anything else because I just like working with kids. But there's so much more. Your kids are eventually going to grow up. You're going to have to learn to teach teenagers and adults. And those of us who have adult children, we know how easy that is. All of you seasoned saints should have said, amen. But okay, listen. So then he says this, now look towards the heavens. Says, let me take you outside. Let me get your eyes on something bigger. And then he says, now look towards the heavens. Look where? Heavenly. Yeah. Right? So what he's saying, take your eyes off of yourself. Take your eyes off of where you're at. Take your eyes off of your circumstances. I want you to put your eyes on the heavens. I want you to look at something bigger yourself. Look at the stars. When's the last time in faith you looked at the stars and said, God, I want that inheritance? When's the last time you looked at something so big that it actually scared the daylights out of you? Who was I speaking to? I was speaking to some guys from the LA Christian Health Center. We were talking about being afraid, right? Of, you know, things we're afraid of. And have you ever like been in the ocean at night on a boat and you just see the mass sea and sky and they don't even connect or disconnect anymore? It's all one big black void, and it's just like, I'm serious. You become like this small. You're like, it's like the fear of God comes and you're like, wow. Huge. Pacific Ocean is massive. We just think that God has so much more for us. And yet we're just like, no, I want to keep my eyes on my little thing. You know, I live at, you know, 383 South Margaret, and that's my spot that God has for me. Man, God wants you to take your eyes off yourself. He wants you to take your eyes off of your abilities. Those things you say, well, I can only do, that's not God. He wants you to take your eyes off of your abilities, your circumstances, and he wants you to put your eyes on the heaven. Put your eyes on heaven again. I love Isaiah 55 when he says, as far as the heavens are from the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And we need to grab a hold of that, that God has so much more for us. Look at your neighbor and say, God has more for you. And then Abram asks this question. He asks this question. Listen, he says, okay, Lord, how may I know I will possess it? It's a truthful question. And we get to ask God these questions. I love that. God's not offended by your questions. Brett and I had a conversation about last week, and I was just telling you about Scripture and sometimes how we have to read it with faith and know that it's true. But listen, God's not offended by your doubts. Did you hear me? God is not offended by your doubts. And as we read Scripture, yeah, it might be hard to physiologically understand that Jesus walked on the water and he told the water to stop. Like those kind of things, you can have questions of God. He's not stressed out by it, but he's still going to ask you to step out of the boat. But God, I don't know. Okay, I get it. You don't know. But come on. Right? You ever try to teach a kid how to swim? We do the same thing with them. Right? So listen, so Abram asked this question. He's like, God, but how do I know that everything you're saying is going to happen? How do I know that everything you're telling me is going to come to pass? How may I know that I will possess this inheritance that you called me to? And this is God's answer to him. Go get a 3-year-old heifer. Go get a 3-year-old goat. Go get a 3-year-old ram. Go get a turtle dove and a pigeon. What was Jesus asking for? A sacrifice. A sacrifice. He said, you know how you're going to know that you're going to inherit this land that I'm promising you? This inheritance, this being the father of many generations, do you know how you're going to get there? Do you really know how this is going to happen? Let me show you. Go get these animals. I need you to offer me a sacrifice. This sacrifice is going to be a prelude to something that God is going to require of Abraham that is probably the greatest thing ever required from anyone in Scripture outside of God the Father. Yeah. I'm going to have to skip forward just a bit. God prophetically had Abraham give a sacrifice, knowing that later God will require so much more. And we see that in Genesis chapter 20, God gives Abraham a son, and his name is Isaac. At 100 years old, Isaac is born to Abraham and Sarah, his wife. It was miraculous, and it wasn't without trouble. It wasn't without falter, because Abraham tried to do things on his own. We learn in between where we've read that Abraham actually took on another wife named Hagar that his wife gave him and said, listen, I'm not going to be able to have children. If God is promising us children, then you need to sleep with this woman so that you can have a son so we can get on with this inheritance that God has for us. How many of you know that when you and I put our hands to the promises that God has promised us, we're going to mess it up. We're going to step outside of God's timing. We're trying to finagle things and put things in our timing. And listen, he hasn't given me a son. I guess I'm going to have to go create one somewhere else. Listen, when we step outside of the will of God, we're always going to hijack what God is trying to do. Keep your hands off of it. Wait for the promise. Wait for the promise. In faith, be steadfast in God, knowing that what he has said will come to pass. So after repentance and all kinds of other crazy sequences of events, Isaac is born to Abraham and Sarah. Isn't that awesome? Have you ever known anyone who's been desperate for a child and finally, miraculous, they get pregnant? Man, God is still doing miracles like that today. And so we see Abraham had to wait for his promise. And then in Genesis chapter 22, we see this. Now it came about after these things, and I'm going to read this to you, friends, because I think it's important just to read it, and I'll try to land here. Genesis chapter 22, we're going to start with verse 1. Isaac is already born. Abraham is so proud of this boy that God has given him. He's given this amazing name of joy that he was given. So here in chapter 20, I think I'm in the right place. 22, sorry. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. What happened? God did what? So listen, when God calls you into an inheritance, when God is promising you something and you're faithing it to the other side, guess what's going to happen along the way? Yeah. Testing. Say testing. Yes. That our inheritance is going to come without challenge, right? You aren't Richie Rich. This isn't something that's just going to happen. You get this inheritance. Wow, look what God gave me. Awesome. What am I going to do now? This is something we're journeying for. Yeah. Now it came after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son, who you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains in which I will tell you. I want you to do what? I want you to take your son, this son of the promise that I promised you. This son, who I told you I would give you and who would be the catalyst to the generations that are to come. I want you to take this son to the mountain that I'm going to show you, and I want you to offer him as a burnt offering on that mountain. What? Now you see, for you and I, if God would ever require something like that, we would think we fell into a cult and run far away. But here's what we know about Abraham. This wasn't the first time Abram had been asked to do something for God. Abraham in his life had now purpose in his heart. When God spoke, he obeyed. When God said something, he did it. And it may sound like blind faith. It may sound like, you know, oh, that's on some crazy tip. I don't know about that stuff. This is what he train himself to do. I mean, if you know things about military guys, and I won't say Marines, but military guys, they train to do things, and it happens by instinct. They don't even question it anymore. There's something, an ism gets chanted, like, get down, boom! You see an entire platoon on the ground. It's just instinct, because they've trained themselves to instant obedience to orders. And so this is what Abraham does. God says, hey, I want you to take that son, that only son I promised you, I want you to take him up on the mountain, I want you to sacrifice him. Now, I get it. There might be a little bit of question in his heart. There might be a little bit like, what, God? But he did it. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there. And listen to this. And he says, and we will worship and return to you. What did Abraham just say? He said, me and my son, we're going to go up to this mountain that God actually asked me to sacrifice my son. But I'm telling you right now, because Abraham was a man of faith, right? He said, me and my son, we're going to go worship, and me and my son are coming back down. There's no doubt in this man's heart, even in a time of testing, that God's promises were true. And how is it that when you and I go through our testing, when you and I go through our hiccups in life, when you and I and life is flying in our faces and things that shouldn't be happening are happening, somehow we hold it against God and we stop our faith movement right there. Just and said, my father, there's a lamb that he offering. It's starting to get real now. Because Isaac's not operating in the faith his dad's operating in. Questions. Dad, we're going up. We got wood. We're going about to make a fire. So I can see clearly his father had showed him what it looks like to give an offering to God. And Isaac knew what his father was about to do, but just being like any observing kid, was like, where's the sacrifice? I mean, normally we have a calf or lamb or some kind of, like, where exactly is the burnt offering going to be coming from? And Abraham said, listen to this, what a lesson. God will provide for himself the lamb of the burnt offering, my son, so the two of them walk together. God will provide. God's provision will be seen even in this place. Right? I gotta move forward. Abraham eventually takes Isaac on that mountain. He binds him up. And he puts his son on that altar. And he's about to sacrifice his son because God said so. Angel of the Lord comes down and says, stop. He reveals to him in the thicket, there's another sacrifice. There's an animal provided by God to be sacrificed. And God says to Abraham, now I know, Abraham, that this inheritance that I promised to you, oh, it's all that and more. Because I know that you will not even hold back your own son from me. Your only son, the son in which you love, that son, you won't even hold him back from me. So they sacrificed this animal that was found in the thicket, gave a burnt offering, and just like faith, he proclaimed, came down from that mountain together. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? This is the God we serve. Hebrews 11 sums it up like this. By faith, Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. And so this even takes us deeper into faith, because what the writer of Hebrews is saying is he believes that Abraham, if God would have said so, would have still sacrificed his son, having faith in God and knowing that God can raise his son from the dead. Whew.
Come on, man. Come on.
What faith?
Yeah.
And the writer also saying, and this was a type in the Old Testament to show us of what God was willing to do for us through his son Jesus. That God and his faith movement to spread the good news, to spread salvation to the earth, was willing to give up his son to the point of death, resurrecting his son so that you and I now can live in that kind of faith today. Are you with me, church?
Absolutely.
This is what God is requiring of us in this next season.
Wow.
A faith movement that we are going to walk into the inheritance that God has called us to. And it's a journey. And there's going to be testing. But God is telling us, take your head out of the box and let's look at the stars. I have something to show you. Would you mind standing with me today? I want to confirm Val's word for you guys today in his testimony, that he believes there's going to be an activation. And I actually believe the exact same thing. God has been stirring that in my heart for this last season for a long time. And my heart's pumping, and I'm just longing to see the saints in this church activated into places that God is calling you to. Because here's what I know. We can't get to where God is calling us unless you're willing to get to where God is calling you. But the plans of God and purposes of God will not be thwarted by man. I think I've told you guys this in the past. We're not going to hold God back. We're going to hold ourselves back. So today I want to ask you to go before God and say, Lord, I need an increased measure of faith.
Yeah.
Lord, I want to take my head outside of the box, and I actually want you to show me again the inheritance that you're calling me to. And I want to have the faith to walk into it with all my heart. I might have some doubts. I might not know how it's all going to happen, but I want to have that kind of faith, faith in believing in things that I cannot see. God, show them to me again. Would you mind closing your eyes this morning? Lord, I pray for that faith to be stirred in this church. I pray for that faith to be stirred over your sons and your daughters, even in this moment. God, to step out of their comfort zones, to say, Lord, I'm no longer going to stay in this place that is comfortable, that is easy, that is domestic. Lord, I want to set my eyes on heaven. Lord, can you please show me again where you're calling me to? It's so much more than this, God. And I might not be able to see it. I might not be able to see, but I know, Lord, that you will provide. You will provide on the journey. I might be tested, but you will provide. Lord, I speak against fear. I speak against man-pleasing in the name of Jesus. I pray that our hearts are to please you. Lord, our hearts are to do the things that you've called us to step. We don't have it all right. We don't have anything, God. But you want to bless us so that we can be a blessing. Lord, I pray we have a revelation of that, a deeper revelation of that. Lord, bless your children in this place. Stir their faith. I pray an unleashing of faith even now, God. Holy Spirit, just breathe faith. Breathe faith. Lord, prophetic visions. Lord, dreams of ministry. Lord, faces that they see that people. I pray for the faith to be stirred. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give Jesus some praise. Amen.